ఓమగ్యానతిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయా చక్షూరుమ్మిళితమేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వాపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీగురుః శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగరజాతం సహగణరఘునాథన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలిత శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమా ఓం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంతస్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశతారిణే. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శివాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ప్రభుపాద్ టోల్డ్ us that the living entity comes to the material world because he wants to enjoy being like Krishna. Krishna bhuliya bhogavancha kare. So he comes to enjoy. And what is that enjoyment? That enjoyment, Prabhupada explains, is lordship over material nature. So our process of Krishna consciousness is to retrace our step back. That is, the opposite of that is to be humbly surrendered to the will of Krishna and serve Krishna. While we perform devotional service, we come to know that it is a challenge to actually be humble, to actually give up control and lordship over matter. These are the deep internal struggles of a devotee. That we know. Yes or no?
Yes. It's a real point.
So I'm going to talk about some sensitive things. Because Maharaj has spoken very diplomatically about the nice external things. What really afflicts us is a thing that we can discuss among ourselves, which I think the retreat is about. First external, then internal, next day. So I've tried my own experience in that. I want to quote one great political lady, Franklin Roosevelt's wife. She is known to have said something very famous, quoted in the leadership circles very much. She said, "People think sex is the greatest enjoyment till they get over and have power and control." She made this amazing statement. Means to say that power and control, if you have, you can give up sex desire. Better than that. So it's not an ordinary thing. It's not an ordinary thing to be a leader, especially in a spiritual position. If you're not very careful, then Kali will use us. As Krishna conscious leaders, you'll still be used. That's what we see sometimes, that people would like to separate themselves and do their own program out of the society of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. That's because you don't get absolute control. You always have somebody above you institutionally. So it's a great austerity sometimes, which is very good and pays off very well, because it helps you to cultivate a service attitude. Our leadership is what in the modern world they called a servant leadership. It's very difficult to get. Karmis speak about servant leadership very easily in theory. In practice, they can never do it, because they are always after exploiting people to get profits for themselves. Where will they do servant leadership? If they do servant leadership, they'll lose all the profit. Who's going to be, "I want to serve you" inside the company? I want to make money out of you. I want to use you. But in the society that Prabhupada has started, there is a great scope for that. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were very, very highly qualified persons. Materially very qualified. They were, practically speaking, ruling the whole kingdom for the Nawab Hussain Shah. Because he had so much faith in them. So much faith in them, they were so straightforward, so cultured, so dedicated, so hardworking, so sincere, so obedient to the authority of Nawab. So he used them. And they were looking after the treasury, the whole kingdom, they could do anything they want. Why? They were trustworthy. Even for the Nawab, they were trustworthy. The cow-eating, you know, mlecha, yavana, even to them they were trustworthy. They came to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramkeli. Last year I went to Ramkeli, very beautiful place. There, when they saw Lord Chaitanya, both Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami held straw from the roadside on their mouth, fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya crying, and they said, Keyami kene amaya jane tapatraya. Who am I? Why do I suffer in this world the threefold miseries? I don't know. But people think that we are very, very educated, learned, wealthy, everything. But I know, I am a worm in the stool. They were able to actually feel what they were saying. They were not putting on an act in front of, you know, their, you know, new darshan they had of Lord Chaitanya. Please, I'm so humble, look at me. They were actually feeling that much. That also requires humility to actually feel like that. They actually felt like that. So much that Lord Chaitanya said, Dainya chadi tumi, tumare dainya fate mora mana. Give up your humility. Your humility is breaking my heart. Because it was so sincere. Although they were materially so good. That great amount of humility made them very qualified to get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Immediately initiated them and said, you are Rupa, you are Sanatana. And you are my eternal associates. And then he gave them services to do. Humility is a qualification to do genuine, pure devotional service. And it's a great challenge to be genuinely humble. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he was known to be a very simple, humble devotee. In the Gaudiya Vaishnava mission of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, all the congregation members, all the sannyasis in the ashram, all the brahmacharis, they all loved Abhay Babu because he was so good in explaining the concepts of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur from his books. He was very good in preaching. He was very humble. He used to teach the brahmacharis. He used to come from outside and give gifts to all of them. Every time he would carry something for the brahmacharis in the temple when he come to visit. He is a grihastha. He would give them all little sweet, give them dhoti, give them kurta, and then they would make him sit down and say, we want to speak to you. They liked the association of Abhay Babu very much. Because he was very humble, he would sit and talk to them. He will go out for preaching with them. Sometimes they will ask him questions. See, we are preaching here in Bengal. How to preach? They are all talking about Kali worship. And so many Kali worshippers, they are telling, what is the use of worshipping Krishna? Kali will give me this, Kali will give me that, like that. So he said, don't worry. You tell them, look at your Kali. Look at her tongue hanging out. Look at all the goats and the blood and the gore that is being offered. Look at how your atmosphere in the temple is. My Krishna, he lives in Vrindavan. Yamuna is flowing. It's a beautiful garden. There is lots of fruits to eat, lot of vegetables, and lot of cooking, a lot of playing, and lot of games with the gopas and the gopis and everything. And everything is very happy. You can choose between Kali and Krishna, you tell them. Prabhupada put a very, right from then he was very good at explaining how to preach. And then he would go with the brahmacharis to preach. And the brahmachari will say, you speak, you sit on the asana. He'll say, no, you sit on the asana. He will make the brahmachari who junior to him sit on the asana. He said, no, you are wearing saffron cloth. You are brahmachari, you are a renounced person. I am a grahastha. And he will sit next to their feet down. And he will say, you start the class, then I will speak. Then they will do kirtan and he will read the class. And then they will say, now I will ask Abhay Babu to say a few words. And Abhay Babu will take over. He will do the whole class, the question answers, everything, and make it a very successful program. This was the humility of Prabhupada. How to get the message out? Whatever needs to be done. If I have to sit at the feet of a brahmachari to preach and convince them, I would do that. Same way, Prabhupada had his dear friend, we know very well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple, O.B.L. Kapoor. Prabhupada refers to him even in the Vyasa Puja address. Famous Vyasa Puja address. O.B.L. Kapoor was studying. He was a scholar. And he was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disciple. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had him write on his behalf and put Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's name in the articles and all that. Because he was so close to O.B.L. Kapoor. I forget his initiated name. So O.B.L. Kapoor and Abhay Babu were very good friends because they are God brothers. So O.B.L. Kapoor would visit Prabhupada's pharmacy. And Prabhupada was very good even in his business. He used to make newer and newer medicines. He will make these new medicines. This pharmacy. Pharmaceutical man. And he would have O.B.L. Kapoor try it, that person try it. So O.B.L. Kapoor, young, still writing his exam for doctorate or something, he came to Prabhupada's place and he said, I'm a little concerned. He said, don't worry, I'll give you a medicine. You'll remember everything you have studied. You take this medicine. And he said, I'm going to try it out on school children. You'll be the first person to take it. You are a devotee. You try it and tell me. So, 1 week before he got this and he ate it every day, took it as per Prabhupada's prescription and he wrote the exam. It did very good. He came back to Prabhupada, Abhay Babu, and said, that medicine works. It's very good. Then he said, I know the formula for that. Then he looked at Abhay Babu for some time and said, hey Abhay, why don't you give me the real medicine? You are not giving me, you are hiding it. Said, what? Then he said, why don't you give me the medicine by which you are such a wonderful Vaishnava, by which you are talking Krishna conscious so nicely and satisfying Guru, you are doing kirtan and bhajan so nicely, give that medicine to me. Then Prabhupada mischievously grinned at him and said, that I will get it ready, the formula is still coming up. He told us. And so O.B.L. Kapoor, in a very friendly mood, later after about several weeks, he came back again and said, you made the formula. Is it ready, the medicine? I asked you. Then he said, I got the formula ready now. I've got the formula ready. If you don't mind, can you tell me if it's not a secret? I promise not to make it and sell it, he said. Then he told, yes, anybody can hear that formula. Trinadapi sunichena tayoriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. And he said, soon I will use this formula and travel all over the world and everybody will take this medicine and become Krishna devotees. This Prabhupada told Kapoor. And yeah, and O.B.L. Kapoor was very stunned. His eyes filled up. What a wonderful Vaishnava this person is. He jokes, plus he conveys a very important information within that. He's deeply very determined to satisfy the instruction of his guru. And true to what he said, he chanted the holy name very meditatively, very humbly, and he went to the United States. This is the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's going to the United States. and preaching Bhagavad Dharma all over the world. So this was the formula Prabhupada used. Nothing great, actually, but actually very great. Why? It's so difficult to be humble. It's not an easy thing to be humble. We can put up humility. Externally we can be humble very easily. Internally to be humble is a real challenge. And that is the challenge leadership offers to you. When you're in a leadership position, it's an opportunity given by Krishna to become humble. You'll be tried and tested constantly. People will criticize you. People find fault with you because you make managerial decisions. People hate you because you say this is right, this is wrong, don't do this. Everybody likes somebody to come and speak katha and say, how are you? Good. Did you have prasadam? How is life? And then this is and leave. Then you like him very much because he is not talking about anything wrong with me. You love him. I love him because he never interferes in my life. He never says this is right or wrong to me. But in the society of Vaishnavas, especially in leadership, especially in leading people, and with an institution which is such a big burden, we are all institutional leaders. We are not leaders on our own. Free-flying leaders like this ashram is. I'm on the bank of the Kaveri, I can build an ashram and then sit down there and preach to people. We are institutional gurus, institutional leaders. So we carry the institutional dimension with us always. We are not very free. And that becomes sometimes a difficulty. But that is our service to Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, with that same mood, he wrote, before he reached Boston Pier, he wrote Markine Bhagavad Dharma. That means in America, what is Bhagavad Dharma? And the essence of that was Prabhupada saying, my Lord, I have neither bhakti nor Vedanta, but I have been titled Bhakti Vedanta. And this place looks full of rajas and tamas. Why have you brought me here? Definitely you have a reason. I don't want to question that. You have a reason in bringing me here. I am very happy to be your instrument. You can use me how you want. I am simply a puppet in your hands. You make me dance. I dance the way you want me to. These are amazing words of Prabhupada, because this he did not write in public. His own personal feeling he is writing down after going through two heart attacks, sailing in the ship, which he said is sailing like a matchbox on the ocean, getting so turbulent. And he was 70 years old. 70 years old and sincerely expressing that. And after that, when he opened up in America, his first big program, Michael Grant, he arranged, Mukunda Goswami. Somehow he had a liking towards Prabhupada. You know, they are all still hippies. Michael Grant, Prabhupada taught him Mridanga. You will see he has written about it in his 26 Second Avenue book. Prabhupada sat down and taught him Mridanga. For 1 hour, Prabhupada played the Mridanga next to him and showed him how to play. And then had him play, and Prabhupada is sitting there. For a long time he played, and he opened his mouth, opened his eyes to see Prabhupada is still there, he's sitting there, waiting to see how he is playing them. For 1 hour he taught him. And so Mukunda Goswami, at that time Michael Grant is thinking, what a person he is. He's really sitting and teaching me. I'm a nobody. And so he arranged, he asked Prabhupada, can I arrange a program for you? Because this is what I think will please you. Only program I can arrange is the music program. I'm a musician. I know all these musical guys. So he arranged that big first program, you know, called all the wild musicians. All of them smoking ganja, morphine, LSD, whole lot of them in the hall. And he called Prabhupada and asked him to speak. And Prabhupada said, let's speak. It's a breakthrough. Prabhupada went there, and he, that famous LSD guru, Allen Ginsberg, was also there. So Prabhupada is so strategic. And he's the guru of all of them, actually speaking. But Allen Ginsberg sat down next to Prabhupada's feet. Prabhupada saw the situation was like that. So he said, you lead the Hari Kirtan. He asked Allen Ginsberg to lead. I said, I'm talking about outreach and how to do it. He had Allen Ginsberg lead the Kirtan. Hare Krishna, because Allen Ginsberg already met Prabhupada 2 times and he told him to chant. So he chanted his own way, you know, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And everybody started following him. Because he is their guru. All LSD fellows. They started doing Hare Krishna. Immediately when it reached the peak, Prabhupada took the kartal from him and led the kirtan. He led the kirtan. And they all got to hear a pure devotee's voice. He led a powerful kirtan and they all were so happy to hear it. Then he spoke about the dance, the chanting of the holy name. Just for 10-15 minutes. Then he walked off the stage. Because it was filled with smoke and all this stuff. And the music started. The next day, Prabhupada is very happy. He made the first entry in public. He is in a small loft. You have to climb up a small stairs and go into the loft. Attani, they say, no, on top. He is staying somewhere there in a tiny, teeny weeny place. No facility. And as he is climbing the stairs, one wild guy with a pen and this thing comes running to him, up the stairs, and comes to him. And Prabhupada turns around very slowly in his classical way, you know. He turns around and said, I want to speak to you. He said, who is this person? From somewhere he has come running. And he asked, are you not Allen Ginsberg's guru? Yesterday's program, he's saying, are you not Allen Ginsberg's guru? Then Prabhupada turns fully around and looks at him. Nobody there, eh? Around looks at him and then he tells him, I am nobody's guru. Then he hangs his head slowly down and says, I am everybody's servant. And then he hangs his head further down and said, it's so difficult to be a servant. By the time Michael Grant has come and he's hearing fully what Prabhupada said, and he's very astonished that this person is speaking from his heart. He's saying, I am nobody's guru. I am everybody's servant. It is so difficult to be a servant. And that reporter, he doesn't have anything to report. Prabhupada is speaking to a reporter. He needn't have to speak that. He could say, oh really? I am Allen Ginsberg guru. Please wait, I'll just put on my makeup and come to have an interview. He would say so many things he should actually be saying. Prabhupada just said this. This was his heart. In his heart, he always thought that I am a humble servant of my guru. He practiced it. That is why he was successful. He was successful because he lived Krishna consciousness. He walked his talk. Our, like Maharaj was saying, we are all leaders together. In our society, everybody is guru, everybody is leader. Because some way or the other, we are leading somebody, instructing somebody. And it is a very powerful position and an opportunity to wear saffron cloth, wear tilak, stand like that. People come and pay obeisance to you immediately. Default leadership, even without being a leader, you will get respect as a leader. Immediately. And if you are a little materially interested, you say, oh, this is fine, wonderful, people are obeying me. Right? It's difficult to get people who are obedient to you. We can fall into that trap. But the idea is to follow not only Prabhupada's institutional instructions, follow his personal life instructions. To develop ourselves into nice devotees. Leadership follows. I think leadership starts from within. If you lead yourself properly, according to the instructions given in the Shastra, according to instructions given by great Vaishnavas, then if you simply behave ourselves properly, you'll be leading people by example. This is what Prabhupada did. He led everybody by giving them advice, but he did what he is supposed to do as an acharya. That's why you follow him. He is so different from all the other so-called great leaders, spiritual leaders that we know. And when we follow Prabhupada and read his books, we know this is it. This is what we should be doing. So like Maharaj was saying, there are frailties and foibles and mistakes in human life, in every human being. But the greatness of everybody in the Krishna conscious movement is that they have decided to take the test. They have decided to be humbled. They have decided to remain in the association of devotees in Prabhupada's movement and remain under the shelter of ISKCON, under the authority. Being under the authority is an austerity. Prabhupada said, if you love me, then be obedient. He said, love means obedience. At the same time, means disciple means obedience. obedience is a very important factor. At the same time, Prabhupada didn't ask us to be fools. If there is something wrong, he asked us to get up and discuss it and say it. It's not that we are so obedient that even though something is wrong in the leadership, we don't talk about it. We are not very naive leaders. So we have discussions, and if there is something that is wrong, we can discuss it. And people should be humble enough to understand that, yes, it is wrong, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, for the sake of the society, let's move ahead, let's do the right thing. So if a person is interested in his internal cultivation, then dealing with external challenges is easier. In other words, he will surrender and be obedient much easier. Becoming serious internally means that externally you are easy to deal with. And that's what I think we should also cultivate. I stop here because you said 20 minutes is 1 minute more. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Yeah.